This morning, the baggage and God's sword. The baggage and God's sword. First of all, you and I are going to have to separate what our baggage is from what is truly real in our life. See, the only reality that truly exists is our spiritual reality. It's what lasts forever. At ache and pain you got, it's not going to hurt and pain much longer. You're going to be dead. That body going to die. You're going to the grave. I hope I've cheered you up to encourage you with that. That human ache and pain, folks, it don't last. But that spiritual love that Almighty God has placed in your heart will last forever. That spiritual relationship you have. Yes, but you know, Brother Larry, I have a whole lot of baggage. Yes, Brother Larry knows. I got a whole lot of baggage. And it's all right here in front of you. You can't see my spirit. Now, don't you all text me later, people that's listening, and let me know how that you can see the spirit of any man. I'm not going to read it. My spiritual connection with God is personal. Do you know it's even private? You know God ain't talking? Do you know there's not going to be any gossip in heaven? God, some people are really going to be let down, aren't they? You're not going to remember my bad parts in heaven. You're probably making a bunch of them up anyway. God says, I want you to pay attention. If you don't recognize you have baggage, then that baggage can end up becoming your God. You hear me? Becoming your idol. Oh, I just got to take care of me. It's all about me, 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 me. And you can't even sing anymore than your pastor can. Me, me, me. But God says, no, pay attention to this. Our baggage happens to be our carnal body, our human existence, our human body, this flesh and this bone. It happens to be the soul. Remember, I told you we're made up of body from creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, He created all that it took to form anything else. So out of that creation, the scripture tells us He formed the body of man. And then He placed in the body of man a soul. He breathed breath into that man. And created, the scripture said, spirit. Go on, let's see. The soul is our mind. It's our thought process. It's our human development. It's the development of that frontal lobe that we keep saying that's why my teenager is acting like they are. Their frontal lobe is slow in developing. And then we realize at 80 years old, our frontal lobe is slow in developing. I'm not 80 yet, am I, Faye? No, okay. But God says, that's the human part. Now, I got to deal with this. When I hurt, I hurt. I mean, I can shout when that pain really gets right. But being a Christian, as I've told you many times, nobody knows whether I'm excited over the Lord. Or that just really, really hurt awful bad. But God said, here's your problem. Now listen to it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit. I'm talking about that Spirit with Christ. You got me? The man without that Spirit, the spiritual connection. I'll tell you about how we get there in a moment. But that spiritual connection. Now, we have the human spirit of breathing and breath and life. You got that? Our minds and all of this. Well, pretty much our minds. We have that basic. But there comes a time to when the true spirit of God, He said, has got to be cut away from the baggage. Listen to the baggage. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. You hear anybody talking on TV or anywhere anymore about how foolish these Christians are? It is foolishness to him. And, listen, he cannot. Do you hear that? Cannot. One more time. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So, we as human beings, we cannot understand the Spirit of God or that spiritual connection. All right, preacher, if I can't understand it, how am I going to believe it? Do you understand how the wind blows? You feel it on your face. Did you see it? So do you say because you didn't see it, you didn't feel that wind? Do you know it's cold outside? That's all human. And when we go out, we make sure we're dressed. Well, folks, I'm telling you that we've got to get dressed spiritually. Because God says the baggage, that human condition of yours, is going to pull you down. Body's going to ache. What about your thought process? Do you ever have your thoughts go wild? You ought to be with me. You probably shouldn't be with me then. With a meeting, when we're having a meeting, or just Randy or I, or it doesn't matter who it is, we're sitting talking. And all of a sudden, their pastor is right in the middle of a conversation, and he jumps to another complete thought. My brain works that way. How does it do that? I don't have any idea. Sometimes, every one of those little boxes up here, sometimes the door's closed on every one of them. And I just sit there and stare. Has that ever happened to you? Here you are talking about, here you are talking about something in your mind somewhere else. Do you ever forget what you were talking about? That was really important, wasn't it? What you were talking about, you just forgot. But God says, here's the problem. That's carnal. That's the human condition. Your brain is going to go in one direction, but your spirit will always focus in only one. While that brain and that humanism is going to be all over the place. For there is one God. There is one baptism. There is one salvation. There's one Jesus on that cross. Says you don't have to worry about jumping in the thought process because there is only one. And I want you to be connected. But my baggage is holding me down. When in our military today, those of you who may be or who are involved, well, how much weight do they carry now when they're out in the field, in the backpack and all? Do we know? Can't remember anymore, can we? That's something I'm glad I forgot, too. A lot of weight. And yet they're sent out with all the weight on them and said, win the battles. Fight. But they have to have the weight with them to survive in the field. They have to have it on the backpack, full, for our survival. God says, listen, I'm going to carry for you my cross. I'm going to be carrying your burdens. Join me, for I want you to understand how much I love you. You don't have to remember how to spell Jesus for me to be there with you. You don't have to worry about when I got you, I got you. It's the baggage that's going to let you down. It's the lies that you tell yourself. Oh, I can never go to heaven. You don't know what I've done. Good gracious, folks, I can't even remember half that I've done bad. And that's just a fact. But that has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation or the power of my God. When he said, I forgive you. All the way through. All of the baggage of the human condition, well, I'll let you know. It's going to be separated and cannot hold you down when I come to get you. I'm not going to be anchored here. No. They can take that Ford truck with them. They ain't going with me. But listen, the baggage results. If we die with our baggage, Galatians 6, first part of verse 8, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. I have a sinful nature. I realize that I have a sinful nature. You know, that's the key, folks. Whether you're an alcoholic, whether you smoke, good gracious, when I came out of Vietnam, I was smoking 5 packs a day. Now, that wasn't just chain smoking. I had to smoke in my sleep. You had to have been there. But you think of that. And God says, those who live only, are you hearing me? Live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Now, does that mean then as a Christian, your sinful nature is not going to pull you down a lot? No. But is that the only nature that you're focusing on, is the sinful one? Even after becoming Christians, so many Christians focus so much on their sinful nature, they don't have time to read the blessings about their new nature. Born again, born from above, born anew. And God says that's why the baggage is going to pull you down. Therefore, you're going to have to realize that there needs to be more power given to you than you can muster on your own. It's got to be greater than you. Guarantee you, mercy is greater than you. You're not going to have much mercy on yourself, especially if you're a professional, because you demand so much of yourself. And when you fail, then, oh my goodness, look how many people I've let down. Well, God comes on the scene for us, and he says, I want to talk to you. That's called conviction. We got it? That's called being convicted. And God says, you realize that you're not going to make it on your own. And here that voice is coming in, not an audible voice. It wasn't with me. Could be. I don't know. But it was just knowing it was God. Am I called to preach? How do you explain that to anybody? I had a business partner in those days. When I remember whether he's talking to Faye or whoever it was he's talking to. He said, I don't know. I think Larry has lost it. He said something about getting a call from God. Now, I didn't even hear the phone ring. You had to have known him. Great friend. But you see, when God speaks to you, it's between you and him. Nobody else going to interrupt. Well, how do I know it's God? I read his word. How am I going to know if God's truly called me to preach if I didn't read and study and see if what I'm hearing on the inside of me goes along with what's in his written word? And there it was. Every time, it didn't matter where I read, God's talking to me. Of course, it didn't matter in my life at that time. It wouldn't have mattered where I'd have read. It'd been God talking to me. He said, it's my word, my voice. So, our baggage, God's sword. The only thing that will ever cut us free from our baggage is God's sword. Now, during this era also, I'm holding in my hand a double-edged sword, which is much sharper than I thought it was. And a double-edged sword is what the world fights with. Or they use the weapons of war. In Jesus' day, this was a weapon of mass destruction, the sword. Matter of fact, When Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to heaven, You know what he told his disciples? Before, you did not have to worry about food. I fed you. Before, you did not have to worry about money. I took care of you. Before, you did not have to worry about being assaulted because you were with me. But I'm leaving now to go to the Father. And now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your money and I want you to buy a sword. All the scholars continue to go nuts over that one. Did Jesus really say that? He commanded them to. Why? Because he said, I'm not going to be there to walk with you now. So you take your money and you go buy sword. And of course, Peter, he already had a concealed carry. And he pulls out his sword and says, Lord, I got two. Should we get more? No, Peter, that's enough. What was he talking about? You're having to deal right now with that which is human. And that which is human has double-edged swords. Powerful weapons of life out here. They'll cut through straight to your heart. And that cutting is what is destroying us. So God says, I want you to know about my double-edged sword. He said, I want to relate to you. Listen to it. His double-edged sword actually focuses on your whole spiritual freedom. It's a spiritual awakening. You got it? Okay, listen. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. That Bible you hold in your hand is alive. When you're reading the Word of God, every word is alive. It's living. It's living and active. You see that? Active. Gosh, wouldn't it be something if we all really became alive and started being active in service to God through Christ? Oh, that's a different subject. Sharper than any double-edged sword. What is? God's Word. It penetrates even to dividing. Now listen to me. For those of you who said, no, that's not right when you're talking about we're made up of body, soul and spirit. Well, let's listen. Dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Now, your physical heart, that pump, does not think. It does not think. It just pumps blood. So here you're seeing God's Word. And in God's Word, it's letting us know. The metaphor is, of the heart is your spirit. Your spirit. And he said, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Because the Word of God will separate your spirit from that which is human. You got me? Are we catching it? That's that born-again experience. You got it? When I said, yes, Lord, I believe. Then that sword separates that spirit from ever being under control of the body or the mind, the body or that soul. Says you're free, free at last, free indeed. The weapon of mass destruction is the Word of God. The weapon used for construction, Word of God. He constructed me by His Word. He spoke. He constructed you by His Word. And he said, this is who I'm going to create you to be. I want you to be you. So I created you as you. I want you to try to be somebody else. I want to cut you loose from the baggage that is holding you down. The baggage of your mind. Are we not told to focus our mind, our thinking on that which is spiritual? Aren't we told that? I cannot do that if I am not spiritual. Because that which is human cannot relate to that which is spiritual. Unless the Word of God, which is sharper than any double-edged sword, comes along and says, I'm a free spirit. That meant something different in the 60s, didn't it, gang? I'm a free spirit. My spirit has been cut free from all my garbage, my baggage. Gosh, that stuff gets heavy. And the more you battle with it, the heavier it gets. But he says, now I've told you, the results of this baggage is those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. That's why I don't fear death. I can't die. I'm not going to die. You're not going to die either. But because of my spiritual connection with the Lord, I shall live forever in a regenerated body just like Jesus. He promised that. And he says this to us. Now you listen. Here's the spiritual awakening result. Galatians 6, the second part of verse 8. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? Jesus. He is the Spirit. And my spirit connects with Him. And because my spirit connects with Him, the double-edged sword of man has no power, no authority. As I can tell you, I'm being ordered to put the sword away. I'm getting too excited over the preaching. You don't want a preacher with a double-edged sword walking up and down the aisle. So God says, that's the key to spiritual awakening. You and I have got to get this straight. My relationship with the Lord is spiritual. My forgiveness is spiritual. When the Lord cut me free by His Word, with that word being more powerful than a double-edged sword, there is no power or authority of all creation that can supersede the authority of the Spirit of Almighty God. I'm saved and I'm going home. Saved. Right now I'm dirty. I'm a human being. Well, then why do you say that? Because when I was born, I started dying right then. You did too. Did you know that? The body. So, and I've told you this before. So if you're saying, well, I just don't believe my body's dying, don't take a bath for about 3 days. And whoever is in your household will remind you, you smell like something dead. That's because your body is dying. When people said this earth is moaning and groaning, is dying. Yes, it began to die. The curse that God placed was never placed on man. God cursed the ground, earth. And He said, earth, you started dying this day. Is this earth going to die? Yep. They got it right. Will this earth then self-destruct? No, it's going to destruct when God says so. When God said, you're out of here, this earth's out of here. But I want you to catch it. In that spiritual awakening, this earth might be out of here. You and I aren't. I'm not connected to this earth. I am now spiritual. You are spiritual. Our connection is with that Spirit of Almighty God. And I'll just be hovering around up there the rest of you all. You know, I wonder if we smart off with each other then. I'd miss that. See, it's fun to be a Christian. It took me years to understand that. I still don't understand it. But it's fun to be a Christian. It's fun for me knowing this. I don't care what anybody says, Larry, you have cancer again. Ha! Big deal. It wasn't tough the first time. It ain't nothing this time. You see what I mean? It cannot have the power over you. That's baggage. I don't have time for baggage. Gosh, I don't have that much time left in this body, and I want to glorify God with it. But I can only do that with my spirit. I get rough with people sometimes. I believe that each of us as Christians should stand up for Christ. And when I know that people are doubting my Savior, I will speak up. You said that one more time in the pulpit and we will pull your 501c3 status. Frankly, I don't care. Pull it. You all might. Speak up for Jesus. Do you know He spoke up for you? And in His Word, He cut me free from the baggage that would cease from giving me hope. It was the power of the baggage. Thinking on my own. Man, is that dangerous. Tell your teenager, use your own best judgment. No! Teenager, listen to me. Use my judgment in that mind. Because your frontal lobe is messed up. And then as we grow older, we get back into frontal lobe problem if we ever lost it. See, it's fun for me. Living is fun for me. Because I don't have to worry about dying. I get to be with you all forever. Now, it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you, Father, for such love, for your spirit, for your grace, for your mercy. We praise you, Father, that we have no doubt how much you love us. And we know, Father, it will always be your love that reaches down to protect us. As we scream out in human pain, your spirit shall send down the healing for our spirit. Thank you for that, Father. I praise you now, asking your blessing and your mighty touch upon each of us. For Father, we are your children. Help us now as we begin our spiritual awakening for 2018. In Jesus' name, amen.